Merrimack today, and to be standing behind this sacred desk, and it does look different than the last time I was here. This platform looks great, and I saw some pictures, but you know, to see it in person, that means a lot. You have to pray for my voice today. I just stripped it out. I preached this morning at our church in Ebertsburg, and I just, when I preach, I don't know any other way to preach, but just give it everything I got. So the Lord knows. But wow, what great things happening here in Winnemac. And you know, I don't ever let a crowd determine the feeling of what I'm feeling. But I'm convinced I could go into an empty room in a city and preach to the four walls, and the spirits of that city would hear what we have to say. And I believe today we're going to be preaching to some spirits and some individuals that there's going to be revival in Winnemac. I believe that. Not just in Winnemac, but all the surrounding areas, this whole area. I believe the Apostolic Church is getting ready to see the greatest revival we've ever seen. And I'm not one bit backward or bashful to say it. I have all of the powers of heaven behind me to say and make them statements. And I'm not afraid of it. And, you know, he said, try me and see. Well, we're trying, God. There's been some faith administered in this town, in this area, and we're trying, God. And I believe that we're going to see great things. Great things. Thank you, Brother Pastor Brent Smith. That's hard to say, but it's the truth anyhow. Thanks for this opportunity to be behind this desk, to preach to this great people. And I am thankful my wife is with me. And she told me yesterday, she said, you're going to wear me out. I said, that's okay. We'll wear out for Jesus. But it's good. It's really good to be here with family and friends and brothers and sisters. Good to be with you, Uncle Arnold and Aunt Judy. Good to be here in service with you. I'd like to go to the Word of the Lord today, and we'll be going to 1 Kings chapter 18. And I usually read my whole scripture setting, and then we go through the prayer, and then we sit down. But I've got a very lengthy reading today, so I would like your pastor to pray his anointing on this message.
In the name of Jesus, we're asking you right now that your anointing would rest upon the preaching of your word. God, I pray you anoint our hearts to hear what you have to say. Let us be open to your word, God, and let it burn inside of him to be delivered what you put inside of him. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for standing in honor to the word. You may be seated. I'd like to read 1 Kings chapter number 18 and verse number 24. Very familiar setting of scripture here. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it was well spoken. And Elijah said unto the people of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first. For ye are many, and call on the name of your gods. But put no fire under it. I like that. He said, don't put any fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking or he is pursuing. And he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awaked. And they cried aloud, and cut themselves after their manner, with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, that they prophesied the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice, nor any answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar that was broken down. I like that part. He repaired the altar. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces, and he laid on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water. Notice with me, up to this point, everything was done the same way. Nothing was changed. It was identical. Cutting the wood, putting it in order. The only difference was he rebuilt the altar that had been torn down. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water, pour it on the wood sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time, and they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time, and they did it the third time. The water ran about the altar and filled the trenches also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, Lord, hear me. And this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, what did they see? They saw some fire. They fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. It was a very enlightening time for them that day, because up until the fire, there was the same opportunity. There was the same connection. The same altar was built. The same wood. Everything was the same. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 1. Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And I would like to preach today a metaphor, a theophany of sorts. But I definitely want to connect with the Holy Ghost today. And I want to preach this metaphor. A metaphor is a word or phrase used to compare two unlikely objects, ideas, thoughts, or feelings to provide a clearer description. Right. You could say it like this. The Father was a dependable rock. And the rock being the metaphor. Or the metaphor talked about there would be the rock. Fire so often appears as a theophany. And a theophany is a noun. It's a visible manifestation to humankind of God or a God. That's what a theophany is. So today I would like to use the metaphor of fire. And I would like to preach the fire still falls. The fire still falls. Fire appears 549 times in the Bible. The word firebrand appears twice. The word firebrands appears 3 times. And the word firepans appears 4 times. The word fires appears once. One of the most arresting and suggestive metaphors in the Bible is that of fire. A phenomenon common to all cultures, ancient and modern. It is one that lends itself to a variety of imagery. It crosses all races. It crosses all culture, all time. Right. Fire is the same. Everywhere you go, it's hot and it burns. That's right. Fire's not going to change because I don't understand the language. Fire is not going to change because it's in somebody's wearing a turnip on their head and riding a camel. But fire is hot. Right. And fire is real. And so it crosses all these races and cultures and times. A fire 50 years ago is the same fire today. And so as a commonplace in ancient Israel, fire obviously is to be taken literally. And in most of the several hundred references in the Bible, it is generally relating to some manifestation of God's being or his action. That is the theophany that is of fire that is being used. And it exists and communicates, first of all, the very presence of God. This is very evident when you begin to look through the Bible and you see the burning bush. What was it that was there as a metaphor? It was fire. Fire represented God at that time. It was a burning bush experience, and the power of God was represented there. Fire is a manifestation of God himself. If you look where Moses had to turn away from the sight because he was afraid to look upon God. Jesus descended upon Mount Sinai in fire in Deuteronomy. In the New Testament, Paul describes the second coming of Christ as in blazing fire, an appearance that could signify times of judgment as well as mere presence. Also in the Old Testament, imagery in John's vision, Jesus with eyes like blazing fire, aging, again in judgment. In that context, it was in judgment. It's not always possible to distinguish the presence of God from his glory. The glory is frequently a figure itself for divine presence. However, a number of passages focus on fire as in association with God's glory. And I'm going somewhere. Just kind of hang with me for a moment. Let's use an example. The Israelites at Sinai. The glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire. In visions of God in his glory in both Old and New Testament, fire is a regular phenomenon. A special use of imagery in the New Testament connected with baptism with fire. John the Baptist predicted that Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit and what? Fire. A promise that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Then the tongues of fire rested upon each of them, and that it were gathered in the upper room, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It was the fire that was representing God's Spirit, God's anointing, God's power. The fire is the manifestation of God. That is what we're talking about. Fire as a theophany of action reveals God at work in a number of ways. He appears in a pillar of fire that led the Israelites through Egypt and the Sinai deserts. Moses and Aaron witnessed the appearance of the glory of the Lord, a striking manifestation of fire that came out from the presence of the Lord to consume the sacrifices. It was fire again that came forth to consume the altar. Other examples of fire as the expression of God's acceptance of offerings are those of Gideon and the father and mother of Samson. In both cases, Jesus is present in the person of the angel who touches the altar, and the fire comes forth to consume the sacrifice. It was in every instance the glory and the manifestation and the power and glory of God. Even though it's a metaphor, even though it's a theophany, it's still the power of God. The fire still falls. Hallelujah. In other passages, the anger of God is not only metaphorically represented by fire, but fire becomes the literal vehicle of his wrath. And in the Sinai desert, Yahweh's anger was aroused, and fire from the Lord burned among the people. And the rebellion of Korah and his followers also resulted in many of them perishing by fire. Manifestation of God's hot anger and wrath. It was power. It was authority. It was fire. So many are the metaphors and the theophanies with fire as the focal point in the Bible. And when fire is represented with anything, listen, it burns out the impurities. It cleanses the situation. It consumes what's ever in its path. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29 says, "For our God is a consuming fire." You might say, "Oh, this really sounds pretty awesome. God's presence. God speaks to Moses in a burning bush. God speaks to Moses in fire on Mount Sinai. God speaks to the Israelites through the desert with a pillar of fire. Ezekiel describes a vision of God as surrounded by fire. God appears as a lightning in the storm in Psalms chapter 18. With all of this in mind today, and I hope I'm done with this foundation and I can move on, but with all of this in mind, I would like to preach with passion, with desire, with zeal, that the fire still falls today in 2014. Fire represents the glory and the majesty, the forgiveness, the understanding, the caring, the victory of Jesus. It's not something that we cannot reach. It is tangible today. The fire is still falling. It's still filling. It's still delivering. It's still setting free. It's still breaking chains. It's still tearing down walls. The fire of God is still real today. And I, for one, want to tap into the power and the glory of an almighty God today. Let's worship Him and give Him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Every time I am facing my wit's end, looking for definite direction, God help me remember that the fire still falls. I don't ever want to get to the place that I don't know how to connect with the fire of God. I want it to consume my sacrifices. I want it to come in the midnight hour. When I can't figure life out and situations aren't making sense, I can still feel the fire as it begins to fall in the glory of an almighty God that knows where you're at, knows where you're living, knows what your address is, knows what your name is. He knows every hair that's on your head. And when you want to touch Him, He's as close as the mention of a name. At the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. I want to get to the place, Brother Smith, that I can be so connected with God that I can realize that the fire is there for me in my darkest hour, in my loneliest time. The fire still falls today. Hallelujah. There is no weapon formed against the church that's going to prosper. It really doesn't matter today what state of mind you might be in. The fire still falls. It really doesn't matter if you've been through one of the hardest situations in your life. The fire still falls. It's still there to deliver. It's still there to set the captive mind free. It's still there to give you peace in the time of trouble. The fire still falls today. Hallelujah. God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. In our scripture text, there were two instances where the fire fell. The first was when the prophet of Baal were challenging to see what God would answer by fire. They were instructed by Elijah to prepare the sacrifice. Cut it. Cut the wood, lay the wood in order, and put no fire under it. And notice, Elijah, he said, I'll do the same thing. I'll prepare my sacrifice the same way. I'll make room at the altar. I will prepare my life. I will become a sacrifice. I will do everything the same way. They were instructed that they were to prepare the sacrifice. I fear and I want us to listen today that there is preparation being made all over the world. In churches all across the country, there is preparation being made, and people are feeling the pull of God. People are listening to the preacher read the Bible and calling upon their gods, calling upon their gods of good intentions. I'm going to go to church today and I'm going to make things right with God. I'm going to call upon my gods, and they have good intentions. But they're gods of activities and they're god of business and even church formality. There are many churches across this nation that are calling, that are preparing sacrifices every day. Every Sunday they come and they prepare the sacrifice and they lay the wood in order and they prepare the sacrifice. But there is no fire. There is no fire. Listen, our God is a consuming fire. And it was at the time of eating sacrifice. I'll explain to you just a little bit what the difference is between just preparing a sacrifice and then having the sacrifice consumed. In 1 Kings 18, verse 37, it says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me. That this my people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.'" Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm feeling just a little connection right now. I want to move in this dimension of the Holy Ghost. I know that sacrifices are something that need to be prepared, and I acknowledge that with a lot of Christianity. But there has to come a place where you're willing for the sacrifice to be consumed upon an altar, where you just lay it on an altar and you say, "God, it's not my will now anymore. I've prepared my life. I've prepared my actions. But God, now I'm calling upon you because I want the fire to fall in my life. I want it to consume my addictions. I want it to consume my desires. I want it to consume the lust of my flesh. I want it to consume my ever-being. Because I want more of you. I'm not going to leave the church house with just repentance, but I want to leave with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the fire begins to fall like it did in the book of Acts, as cloven tongues like as a fire setting upon each of them. There are those that are going to experience the power of God as it falls, and it's going to change your life and give you new meaning and new direction for your life. Hallelujah. Can we clap unto Him today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I remember in our own church, there was a man, Brother Bob Grubbs. I remember watching him in the back of the church, Brother Brent and Pastor Smith, sorry. And I was watching him as the service began to progress and things began to happen. And you know, you've been in these services, and I believe everyone, does anybody need the Holy Ghost today? Praise God. Thank Jesus. I need the Holy Ghost. And I watched him as he was beginning to cry, as the Spirit of God began to move in that service. And it wasn't even the altar call, but he ran to the front of the church. Why did he run to the front of the church? Because he had prepared his sacrifice. Because everything was in order. And he realized, hey, it's time. It's time. The fire's fallen. And God filled him with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I watched as Michelle Barber in our church, just a girl that was nowhere near an apostolic, came to that altar. We were grabbing blankets and everything to cover her up, but she received the Holy Ghost. So there on her knees at an altar, the fire began to fall. In 1984, just a young boy of 8 years old at the Michigan District Campgrounds, the power of God began to fall, and I was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and I have not been the same since. I'm telling you today, if it's been a while since the fires fell in your life, it's still falling today. The power of God is still real today as it was back then. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil tell you that you're all dried up and there's no victory that can be had in your life. The fire is still falling today. Hallelujah. Could it be that we have just been preparing sacrifices? Somebody step out and believe it today. Step out into the unknown in your life and say, "I'm just done offering sacrifices. I'm done just preparing the sacrifice. But I'm going to find an altar somewhere and I'm going to begin to pray the fire down. Oh God, whatever it takes, we've got to have revival. God, whatever it takes, we've got to see a soul saved. Whatever it takes, we've got to see somebody baptized in the name of Jesus. And devil, I refuse to be pushed or backed into a corner because I know the fire is still falling today." Oh, there's a special presence of God in this place right now. I think it's in order if we would just call upon the name of the Lord. Let's call upon Him right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This fire is contagious. This fire is something that will change you. This fire is something that will transform your life. The fire still falls today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember Steve in our church, and he was sitting about the third row back, and the power of God began to move in that service. He runs up on the platform. He said, "I don't know what's going on here." He says, "This thing's crazy, man. I don't know what's going on." But he said, "Whatever it is, I've got to have it. I got to have it." It was the fire. The fire was falling. It was consuming sacrifices all over that church. The sacrifices were consuming here and consuming there. And before long, that place erupted into anointing beyond comprehension. And people were filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, the power of God, the fire of God is still falling today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Against all the naysayers, regardless of past failures, the fire still falls. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When the fire falls, there will be a denying of what you're feeling. There will be no denying of what you're feeling. It was on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost fell and cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Cloven tongues like as a fire. In Acts chapter 2 and 41, they were all filled that gladly received and were baptized. Acts chapter 8, a sorcerer who had bewitched the people of Samaria offered himself to God. And he received the gift of the Holy Ghost and was baptized in the name of Jesus when the hands were laid upon him. In Acts chapter 10, while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell and all them that heard the word. Or could I say the fire fell. In Acts chapter 19, certain disciples under different persuasions. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The fire of God is still falling in Winnemac even today. The fire of God is still real and it's still overflowing. The power of God is still, the fire is still falling today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been working with a man from Cracker Barrel Restaurant. His name is Jason. And over a year, we've been teaching him Bible study. We've been working with him. And for over a year, it's been a grueling but very rewarding journey. And he ended up going to camp meeting this year. And never one time making a move to an altar. After a year of working, don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season. Hear it, devil. Hear it. The fire is still falling today. The fire is still as real. It crosses all lines, all times, all barriers. When the fire begins to fall, it's going to fall and consume sacrifices. Hallelujah. Jason, in one of them services, the anointing was so strong. Runs to the altar, never been to the altar before. And before that service was over, his head was on my shoulder, snotting and crying. I'm holding him up as the power of God is just moving him from one side to the other. He did not receive the Holy Ghost, but guess what, devil? He's gonna receive the Holy Ghost. We baptized him in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that he's gonna receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I could tell you stories after stories after stories, and I don't want to just keep going in that, but we know that the Holy Ghost is real. We know that it's fallen. You've probably got instances in your own church, in your own life, where you've seen the power of God come in and totally transform a heart and a life. Guess what? It didn't stop with the apostles. It didn't stop back there, but the Holy Ghost is still real today. It's still falling. The fire is still falling today. The Holy Ghost is the same for anybody as it was on the day of Pentecost, so it shall be today. I believe that the fire is still falling today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fire is still falling in this place today. Hallelujah. I had a conversation with music wants to come. I had a conversation with my cousin, Scott. Well, I won't say his name for sake of privacy. He's not in church, our church. Church of Christ minister. I just let it out. Sorry. Anyway, he goes to Bible school and he's trying to gain all these accolades and all this stuff. And he calls me just a while back and he said, Brad, he said, I need your help, man. I need your help. Well, it could be a lot of things. He's my accountant. He's my cousin. It could be a lot of things. I said, Scott, what is it? I said, what's going on? And he says, I've taught Sunday school and I've done a few sermons and I've tried to live for God and my family's serving God and His way. And he said, I've been having a struggle, just a real struggle. And I said, well, Scott, what's going on here? He said, Brad, he said, I didn't know who else to call. Now notice. He's got ministers that are supposed to be there to help him. Bible school theologians that he dialogues with. He's got all of these helps, all of these things, and he's calling me. And he says, Brad, he said, I'm having a real problem with a certain temptation in his life. That is could ultimately lead to a divorce in his marriage if he does not change it. And I said, Scott, I said, I don't understand, but I understand. I said, the best way I can explain it to you is like this. I said, you need to receive the Holy Ghost. Because have you ever heard yourself speak in a heavenly language? And he said, well, no, I've never spoken tongues. And I said, Scott, it's something you need to experience. I said, because you are not going to have any power over this test and this trial and this temptation. For one, and this is really where this message was birthed, was this experience that I had. But Scott has offered sacrifices. And he told me, he said, Brad, I cry and I pray and I cry and I pray. And I believe he cries and he prays. But he doesn't have any power. I told him, I said, Scott, the Bible says after you receive the Holy Ghost, you're going to be endued with power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I told him, Scott, you need to find a place and you need to pray until you pray through to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. What all these theologians couldn't tell him. They told him that he needed to go to counseling and he needed to get some book that he was telling me about if I've ever read it. I said, Scott, no, I've never read it. And my flesh has had the same test and trials that you're going through right now. But you've got to get the power of the Holy Ghost. And when that fire begins to fall, it's going to consume the sacrifice. It's going to consume everything and burn it out. And the fire is still falling today. Could we all stand all over this place? Hallelujah. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost come right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil tell you that there's not going to be those filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen to us, devil. Listen to us, devil. The fire is still falling. And there's those that are going to come and be delivered from alcohol and drugs. There are those that are coming that are going to be delivered and set free by the blood of the Lamb. We're not preaching a fairy tale right now, but the fire is still falling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You come, oh, shut. Can we wait upon the Lord just for a moment? Hallelujah. I want the devil to hear it, and I want him to feel it. Hallelujah, devil. You are a defeated foe. Hallelujah. You go ahead and call upon your gods, devil. But I'm calling upon my God right now. And he's going to consume some sacrifices. God, do the work right now in Jesus' name in this place, in this city. God, break every chain. Tear down every wall, God. Remove all the hindrances for revival. God, remove every obstacle, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Let the fire begin to fall. Let it consume every sacrifice that has been prepared in Jesus' name. We bind every force of hell in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody speak to your mountain right now. Speak to that situation. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh, devil, you're a liar. The fire is still falling and consuming sacrifices. Call upon the name of the Lord right now so that everybody will know there's a church that's going forth. There's a church that's on fire. There's a church that's going to experience the victory and revival that we have never seen before. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just praise him from the bottom of our hearts one more time? Hallelujah. I wonder if we...